Hello and welcome to the King's Cast. In a time of such diversified contact with the world around us, how do companies manage to reach their target audience? Why is it that my social media seems to be able to read my mind when displaying adverts and recommendations? Marketing a product is a complex task. And here to discuss this with me are Claire James, Shopper Marketing Manager for Nestlé Confectionery in the UK and Ireland, and Helen Pettit, Assistant Senko at the King's School and former Campaign Solutions Executive for New Day Limited. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Hello there. Thank you.
So, would you mind just giving us a bit of background to marketing? So, what is it? Where has it come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So marketing is the activity or the business of promoting and selling products and services. So the term marketing broadly covers the processes of creating, communicating, delivering and exchanging offerings and information that will offer value for customers, for clients, for consumers, and for wider society in general. So in a nutshell, within marketing, there's generally four pillars within marketing that are leveraged depending on what you'd like your target audience to be thinking, to be feeling, or to be doing. And those, it's called the four P's, and those four P's add up to what's known as the marketing mix. So the four P's are product, place, price and promotion. Had to think about that then. So depending on what you're trying to achieve, it's really important to take the full marketing mix into account to ensure that the results of your activity amplify the right product in the right place, with the right promotion and the right price. And all of those considerations are equally as important as one another when you're creating kind of a strategic marketing plan. Also important to mention that kind of all marketing activities should ideally be insight driven. So that's where you would kind of utilize market data, opinions and trends to ensure that your messaging is going to land correctly. So that's the marketing very much in a nutshell there. And in terms of where we would find it, I mean, almost every corner of the world, you're gonna find marketing. So everything from kind of the back of a crisp packet, you know, a receipt, through to, you know, more traditional things like signs, billboards, newspapers, TV, internet, side of a lorry, that sort of thing. The list just goes on. It's massive. And I think I read something recently that said current research sort of suggests the average person will see, incredibly, up to 10,000 pieces of marketing per day. So that's media sort of, or messaging, kind of promoting a product or business. So 10,000 pieces. And that explains why marketing is such big business, because when we're bombarded with that much kind of messaging and every company is trying to gain revenue over their competitors, they need their marketing to work really hard and stand out against the noise. So that's sort of a brief overview.
Thank you. Just one thing that you mentioned there, and I want to just clarify. When you talk about clients, who do you mean? Who are you referring to? Because marketing can seem or can feel to some people, I imagine, quite vague and quite sort of distanced from everyday living. So who is it that needs marketing? Who is it, Helen, that who would be the client?
So when I worked for New Day, my clients were, I worked with Amazon, Debenhams, the Arcadia Group. But then you were, depending on who their clients were and their retail partners, depends on how you market for them. So you would market somebody completely different for, say, Next compared to Boohoo.com. It would be completely different. You're making a target audience for who, and you have to think of your audience and how you're going to market to them.
Fantastic. I'd like to come on to that in a bit more detail later on. But I imagine that marketing as an industry, as a process even, has changed. I mean, significantly in my lifetime. I grew up, I suppose, in the 80s and 90s, and it was all very much posters and billboards and bus stops. So would you take us through how has it changed, where has it come from, and what's it like today?
Yeah, I suppose you're absolutely right. We're very much of a time, you and I, I think. So yeah, so you're the 80s, 90s children. I suppose, you know, it's no surprise that it's the, you know, obviously it's the dawn of the internet. Marketing has experienced sort of a seismic shift. And it's opened up thousands of new marketing channels, you know, that are now available digitally. So that means that any sort of contemporary campaign is sort of missing a large consideration if they're not looking at an integrated digital strategy alongside what they're, you know, what they're planning for sort of mass market. So, you know, but in doing that, it doesn't just mean that we're kind of placing ads on our company's, you know, kind of homepage, or things like that. Audiences are really much more sophisticated than that. So it's about going back to what Helen was saying about sort of considering your target audience or your demographic when working out the best ways to execute your online marketing. And for example, I've seen some great, sorry, go on.
I was just going to ask, what do you mean by demographic? Sorry.
In terms of demographic, your demographic is your target audience, basically. So that might be, you know, sort of quite a wide audience. It might be something, it might, you know, be a group of people that sort of age from 0 to 80, you know, males, females, you know, sort of everyone. But a more targeted demographic would be, right, you know, we have a product that we're specifically wanting to, say it's a lipstick or something, we're specifically wanting to market to people who have a you know, they're between a certain age range, so it might be 25 to 40, you know, we know that they're buying in this certain place, we know you know, they're sort of getting on the back of those trends, and that would be your target demographic. So it can be as large or as small as you want, depending on what you want to achieve with your campaign. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know when I was at New Day, we had a team that specifically looked at what product was being launched in what area, and you would do a search on postcodes, and you would only market to certain postcodes.
Yeah.
You know, that say in London they were launching a new product and it was only going to be in London, you would only market it to those people, you wouldn't go
order. Can I ask, what's the purpose of that? Why would you in theory narrow your potential customer base?
I think as well to make it so people want it. I know we've spoken before about Prime, how it was very rare to get Prime the drink, that all it was on social media and everybody wanted it, but you just can't get it. So stores can release that product and charge anything, and people will pay it because they're desperate to get it.
So that's yeah.
Yeah,
I was going to say an example I've seen recently as well was for a really sort of luxurious watch brand, who are sort of investing in marketing, but they will do that in a really, really targeted way because not everybody can afford, you know, a watch that costs £50,000 or £100,000. So they will be targeting, you know, through many, many sort of different ways of sort of getting that sort of targeted information, but targeting those people that have the necessary funds to be able to do that. Anything else that they do is wasted in terms of kind of marketing spend because they're not reaching the right people.
Thank you. Can we perhaps delve into an example? You've mentioned this idea of a campaign and having a strategy, you use those terms. What does that look like? So people who work in that industry, it's a process, I imagine. What are the steps in that process? And feel free to talk about particular products that you know of and talk us through how a campaign will work from that initial approach from a client saying we have a product through to, well, what does that actually look like in the shops, on the internet, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So a campaign, basically, your campaign can work in several sort of different ways. So you can have a campaign, and I suppose the most famous campaigns are what we call above the line campaigns. Now, above the line campaigns will utilize kind of a big overarching idea and will sort of display that to mass reach audiences. So if you think about, you know, kind of some of the most famous TV ads in the world, and, you know, the big sort of companies, the likes of Coca-Cola and the, you know, the sort of Mondelez, the Cadbury's and that sort of thing of the world. And I'm sort of talking in terms of, you know, kind of drinks and food, because that's the industry that I work in. But yeah, so that would be your sort of above the line campaign. And typically that would be kind of where any sort of campaign would start if you're going for that sort of big audience. So yeah, so that you utilize sort of national newspapers, magazines, well-known websites, that sort of thing to land the message. A campaign can then also have a through the line strategy. So through the line is kind of taking that big overarching idea and translating that through to kind of more targeted touch points. So that would be where you'd see, I'll use Coca-Cola as an example again, but where you'd see kind of Coca-Cola on your social media, or you might get a kind of email through from their customer database. So it's starting to kind of more target their key kind of consumer, their key demographic. And then below the line, which is narrower reach, and just like we've just talked about with the kind of luxury watches and that sort of thing, that's very you're sort of targeting a very niche audience. So when you're sort of looking at a campaign, it's always really useful. It doesn't always happen, but it's always really useful to have that big overarching idea and sort of an idea on how you want to make your customer think, feel, and what you want to make them do, or what behaviour you want to kind of drive with that.
So I find that really interesting. So marketing, it's not necessarily about the specifications of the product. It's far more emotional then.
Absolutely. And that's, that's everything, certainly within, because I work within quite an emotive category. So I work within confectionery, which generally makes people really happy, gives people moments of joy and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of emotion woven into kind of how we want our consumers to feel. So it's not necessarily about, kind of telling you what the price is and it's about how that's going to make you feel, how that's going to enhance your life. And it's that positive sort of product or service association. So that's what we try and do with kind of a big idea, I suppose. And then it's about kind of, in terms of a campaign, it's then how you translate that through to the media that you're going to use. So whether that is, then sort of popping it on the side of a bus, or whether that is having something that is talking about the product itself at shelf edge in the supermarket. It's about having all those tangible touch points along a shopper journey. And it's about taking you want your customer to be aware of your brand right at the beginning of that customer journey. And what you want to do is sort of have that awareness right through that path to purchase. And then for, the decisions that you've made through marketing to influence their decision to buy. So it's, ultimately that's what we want people to do. We want people to put things in their trolley, whether physical or online trolley. So there's a lot to consider. It's a big task, a campaign.
Yeah, that's a massive process. I imagine there are a lot of people involved in that process. Yeah. And we've already touched on this idea of the marketing professionals, I suppose, and the clients. What's that dynamic like?
Well, I know when I was at New Day, we used to, it would start from, so if you were doing a campaign in summer, you start that in January, and you'd be running that from January to build it up. Christmas, you think about that in January. It's like we see the adverts that come out at Christmas. You look forward to the John Lewis one and the Aldi one. That is being planned as soon as the other campaign finishes, because you've got so much to think about, so much to put together. And it would start with the team that are thinking, right, what we're going to do. Then you've got your design team. You've got your, we used to call it the targeting team. They'd be looking at the customers that it's going to hit. So it's massive, massive.
And again, we've already talked about how diverse your marketing platforms are, I suppose. So if I'm a John Lewis, I want to promote John Lewis. Obviously, it's not just going to be advertised within John Lewis. So if I'm putting out an advert, for example, but I want it on the side of buses, I want it in shops and retail, I want it on Facebook. That's a lot of other organisations to then work with.
And what they'll also do is, because John Lewis have their own store card, they will actually take data from where that store card's been used to then look at, right, this person or our John Lewis customers tend to shop on Amazon, or they'll shop in Harrods as well. As so they'll target the specific areas of where the shoppers are spending.
And who, and it may well be different for different reasons, but I'm interested to know who has the authority in that. So say I've got say I am part of a bus company, and John Lewis, somebody, a representative, gets in touch and says, right, we want to put a poster up, or we want this on the side of the buses, sorry. Who has how much say? So is it final decision with the company, with the platform company, or is it more to do with the client actually having the power to say, I want this shown, and therefore it will be shown? What's that kind of negotiation like?
That's an interesting one to be honest. So it would be, I mean, if we're talking about specifically the case of a bus company, they will have that space kind of up for grabs, and that will be a part of the bus company's revenue stream. So they will, you know, sort of build that in, that they will be selling that advertising space. In terms of, you know, specifically a bus company having kind of a lot of sway over what content goes on the bus, I think there are probably sort of decency and that sort of there's that sort of thing to consider when kind of putting together an advert. But John Lewis will have done all that already, so they're going to know that, you know, kind of what they're proposing to kind of put on the side of that vehicle will, you know, kind of tick all the boxes for them from a brand point of view. So I would say, unless it was sort of, you know, particularly contentious from a bus company's point of view, I would say, you know, that they wouldn't usually kind of get a say over that. I think it becomes more complicated when you're, you know, if John Lewis were to sort of take over a digital billboard or something outside of another department store or that sort of thing. That's when it'll be an agency that actually owns that digital billboard, and it'll be up to them to kind of negotiate, you know, with both companies, you know, as to what's right or wrong. So, but you're absolutely right, you know, and it takes an industry of people to kind of put together a campaign like that, because different, you know, it's not a linear process at all, and different companies kind of work with different agencies, and so it's a very much a cross-functional approach in many cases if you're talking big campaigns.
And I'd like to ask both of you, Claire, would you mind starting, why is marketing important? Surely Coke themselves can come up with an advert and get in touch with the companies. Why is marketing and this incredibly complex beast that we've just been talking about, why is it important in the first place?
So, well, I suppose the sort of honest answer to that is the fact that brand awareness is kind of the cornerstone of all your marketing efforts. So if customers or potential customers aren't aware of your brand, it doesn't exist. An awareness overall helps to create, you know, kind of trust in the brand. It helps to create loyalty, and that positive kind of association that you have with the products that you choose to use or to service. So it's incredibly important, like I said, because, you know, if you can't see it, is it there? That's the top and bottom line. And having worked, as I said, in a lot of, you know, kind of big, what they call FMCG, so that's fast moving consumer goods. I've worked in a lot of companies, Coca-Cola included, you know, and all of them have these big, powerful sort of strategies that are making sure their mass reach, that they're reaching as many of their target customers as possible. And just making sure that they're always there. So there's very few countries in the world, for example, where you wouldn't see Coca-Cola marketed, you know, and that's a massive strength of theirs. So it's that awareness and that, you know, associations.
Thank you. It's like if you look at Red Bull. Red Bull started off as just a drink. It's now one of the main Formula One driving teams that's gone absolutely wild. So, yeah, it, marketing, it just expands their business. It expands their name. I know when I worked with Topshop, we used to put as many items of clothing on a cup. This is when you got statements on paper. You'd put as many items as you could get on that statement, so then the customer saw it and went into store. So you're just driving business all the time to try and get people. Where, I mean, the high street, we know what's happening to it, but when I was there, that was the drive to get them in. Put as much as you can so they can see it. So.
Yes. Yeah, about creating that desire, I suppose, and then that call to action.
Yeah, and if you go on like the Amazon website, they have advertising all the way around. So you go and companies pay to be in a specific place on that website. Mm-hmm. But they call it one click. So you're like one click and you're there.
So it's about making it as easy as possible to get in, absolutely, get in touch with that product.
Yeah.
You have credit card companies that, like Amazon have their own credit card, but it's run by different companies behind it. They will fight each other to be the first one that comes up when somebody clicks. It's all about being number one.
Just making sure that you're, you know, as Helen says, that you're as accessible as possible, you know, and that you're sort of forcing that buying consideration in amongst all the noise, you know, that there's so much that we're bombarded with.
So very competitive. I didn't realize, I mean, obviously advertising, you know, everyone's only got so much money, but I didn't realize that even down to where they are on the web page and that kind of thing. My last thing, I suppose, to you guys is, what do you and what have you found to be the most exciting part of marketing? Being involved in marketing, what is exciting about it? What was most enjoyable about it? What was most challenging about it, perhaps? So, Claire, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my career sort of started in advertising, actually, and then has led through sort of more organically to sort of marketing as a whole. But I think what really sort of excites me is the creative element. So it's the fact that, and as I say, I've been lucky enough to work for some, you know, some fantastic companies with some really exciting products. And for me, it's about kind of seeing, you know, the sapling of an idea kind of coming to life and, you know, sort of sprouting, and I'm using plant analogies, but seeing that sort of come to life and, you know, seeing kind of consumers, enjoying something like that as well. So if I've been involved sort of along that process, I get a lot of joy and a lot of pride out of seeing that, you know, sort of come to fruition. I don't know whether I'd feel the same if I worked for sort of a toilet roll company, for example. I don't know whether I could get as excited, but no, I've been really lucky. I suppose in terms of challenges, as we've touched upon, because as a marketeer, it can be a very cross-functional role. You work with a lot of departments kind of within your own company, as well as a lot of outside kind of stakeholders and decision makers. That often means there's a lot of approval loops to kind of jump through, and that can take time. And in my experience, everything marketing is always time pressured. So that's maybe one of the, not so much the downside, but it certainly sort of keeps the majority of marketeers frantic, I think. So there's, you know, there's ups and downs like everything, but generally it's a really rewarding career path, and there's lots of things that you can kind of branch out into. So
I agree with the time and the time, because it, like, you're trying to do your job, somebody else is doing theirs, they're not delivering, so you're having to chase them. And then I remember once being at like 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and I was waiting for Tui to send me some details, and I just remember sitting there thinking, oh my god, please come on. But you have to do it. It's not like a clock off at five and that's it. Yeah. I liked that I got to see a lot of the products before they got launched. So that's quite good. And then we used to also see the economic, how it had worked, how the economic side of it had grown. So say if we'd put a 20% off offer in a particular store, we'd then get the detail, like, has it worked? And it was, you'd sit there waiting to see if it had worked. And then sometimes you got to be on a photo shoot and Jamie Redknapp was there. So that's my thing. got to see Jamie Redknapp when he was a model for Burton.
So perks to be had as well. Yeah.
Perks to be had, yes. But it's not the office job that I thought it was then.
No, absolutely not. No.
So it really is a passion rather than an earner. So
yep. Absolutely. But I would say, you know, I think a lot of people in marketing could agree with me as well, and just say that every day is different, and it's you know, it's really rewarding. And I think, as Helen alluded to, you know, when you've sort of worked on a campaign or a strategy and you see positive kind of return on investment, I suppose, you know, for both your company or, you know, companies that you've sort of worked with, that's really rewarding as well, just to know that the right decisions have been made and that you've had an effect.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much for joining me. And I hope you've enjoyed listening, and join us again soon. Bye-bye. Yeah,
thanks for having us. Bye-bye.